before we start, that's kind of waters to swim in. That was from 2012. And a lot's happened since then. And a lot more is going to happen. And I'm rejoicing. I am absolutely rejoicing about it. When I say, God, we need a touch. God was saying that touch is revelation knowledge. He's already healed us. He's already paid for everything. But there's something where we say, God, and praying in tongues, and say, God, Holy Spirit, I want that revelation knowledge. Where deep calls unto deep. Where my spirit, my consciousness, if you will, is at such a different place, and that I'm so in line with the Holy Spirit that we just move, mountains move, just stuff happens. Because that's our destiny here in this place. I don't know what it is other places. It doesn't matter to me. It really doesn't. I don't even think about it. I just know what he wants here. And whatever needs to happen for that to happen. And I've said, God, whatever you need to do in me, through whatever you want to do, I'm saying, okay. Okay. I can look back, though, and see that we weren't ready for what God wants to do in 2012. We would have been preaching the wrong messages. God's faithful. He's faithful. And something during COVID really happened in me. I don't know how to explain it, but something happened. And I believe it was the Spirit of the Lord. And I can't even think the same way I used to think. Mm-hmm. And some things are habits. The way you think or even ponder things in your heart can become a habit the way you do it. And my whole way of doing shifted. And I praise God for that. I just praise God for that. Amen. Amen. Wasn't that fun? Wasn't that cool, Jackie? It kind of took you back to the moment, didn't it? Yeah. I have just a short word today, and I guess that works out great. I don't even remember how long that CD was because I just kind of got lost. I was in my study, and at some point, I was just in another zone. And it's just, I don't know how God does stuff like that. I'm just grateful. So let me turn this on. All these little things I have to remember. And if y'all don't know it, Krista's released a song, and you can get it off Apple. And she's working on another one. She's gonna have an album. So hallelujah, yeah, yes, it's happening. Things are happening in the middle of COVID. These things are happening, and people are writing, and there's things. Because she's had some real battles, some really big battles to overcome and deal with, and just her faithfulness. And in this song that she released, it was because I know your word. I know you're faithful to your word, and she's saying that in this song. And we hadn't even talked or anything. But I just want to encourage you about God's faithfulness to your kids. When you're not really around them, they're not really necessarily listening to you. There's some things they just can't get away from. And the word. You can't get away from the word. And so this song is really about the word taking people through. So if you haven't downloaded that, I just invite you to do it. I sent it to some of you on your phone. You might listen to it on your phone. And yes, I'm the mama, so I can do this. Yeah, sure I can. I miss Chris. It's so good. He even put this up here for me for my announcement, and I still forgot. That's pitiful. Let's just, I know you're all so faithful, and I can't even respond to it correctly, so I apologize. But yes, God's been really faithful in our presence. Yeah, that's right, Bonnie. It was such an anointing here last week too, so praise God. It's because we walked in with it. We're His people. If there's an anointing here, it's because we're here, because He lives in us. I praise Him for that. That means we're pulling in. Missions offering was last Sunday. If you didn't have a chance to give, because I didn't even announce it like I was supposed to, then please remember to do that today. That would be awesome. And also, we wanted to recognize birthdays for November. And I know Linda had a birthday in November. Did anybody else have a birthday in November? No more birthdays in November. Okay. Well, Linda, happy birthday. I know we said it to you. We were doing our COVID thing, but we acknowledge Linda's birthday and how precious she is. So let's sing happy birthday, huh? Happy birthday to you. Can't hear you. Happy birthday, Kathy Smith from Spirit of Truth Ministries in Shreveport, Louisiana. And you're just in time. You're just in time. And you are on time. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to be ministering on the Paul's prison letters. I'm only going to do one. It's very short. It's only one page, literally. It's from the book of Philemon. If you want to turn there, we're going to be doing a little bit of reading. I this past week was ministering on one of his other prison letters in Colossians, and we saw that Epaphras was visiting Paul while he was in prison. He had told Paul about some of the issues and even difficulties that the church of Colossae was experiencing at that time, especially about false teachers. Remember, we talked about that. The teachings concerned an overemphasis on spiritual rulers and authorities. They got so caught up with spiritual rulers and authorities that they were really neglecting the absolute preeminence of Jesus Christ. I think sometimes the church has done that. I was in circles where that was sometimes a big deal, you know. And now it's not really a big deal to me. It's kind of like the demon, they're under our feet. What's the deal? So all power and authority, even over evil spirits, Jesus is the preeminent one. We have to remember that. So we talked about that. And we also have to remember that Paul had not seen or been with the church at Colossae. So some of his concerns were legitimate. He had trusted some Epaphras and some other people. This is interesting to me, and this goes back to what I was saying. Like, he didn't personally minister to everybody that received his message. Sometimes it had been people that he had trained, and they took the message to other people, which is, as we talked about, that was God's plan from get-go. That is how God designed the church to grow, was from the church people themselves ministering to other people the life of Christ. And spreading the gospel, the good news. Well, the church at Colossae was the result of people evangelizing. I just want to say that. That's why that church was even there. Well, he wrote several letters while he was in prison. And we looked at Colossae. And today we're going to look at Philemon. The interesting thing, too, about this book is his other letters were written to groups of people. Paul often would address groups of people. This is written to one person. This book is written just to one person he had a relationship with. But what we can learn out of this is really big, even though it's very short and with just one person. Let's just read, if we can start here, in the book of Philemon. He said, let me see where I want to start. He says, this letter is from Paul. He says he's a prisoner. He goes on to say he's a prisoner. He says, I'm writing to Philemon, our beloved co-worker, and to our sister, Aphia. And he goes on to address the other people. Go on down to verse 4. He says, I always thank my God when I pray for you, Philemon, because I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people. I love that. And I am praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. Your love has given me much joy and comfort, my brother, for your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. Isn't that precious? Kindness refreshes the heart. And he says, but that's why I am boldly asking a favor of you. I could demand it in the name of Christ because it's the right thing for you to do. I love the way he puts that. He says, but because of our love, I prefer simply to ask you. Consider this as a request from me, Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner for the sake of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you. He went from not demanding, he's making an appeal. I appeal to you to show kindness to my child, Onesimus. I became his father in the faith while here in prison. Onesimus hasn't been of much use to you in the past, but now he is very useful to both of us. I am sending him back to you, and with him comes my own heart. I wanted to keep him here with me while I am in these chains for preaching the good news, and he would have helped me on your behalf, but I didn't want to do anything without your consent. I wanted you to help because you were willing, not because you were forced. It seems you lost Onesimus for a little while so that you could have him back forever. He is no longer like a slave to you. He is more than a slave, for he is a beloved brother, especially to me. Now he will mean much more to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, and I won't mention that you owe me your very soul. It's funny how he said he wouldn't mention it, and then he did. Yes, my brother, please do me this favor for the Lord's sake. Give me this encouragement in Christ. I am confident as I write this letter that you will do what I ask and even more. One more thing. Please prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that God will answer your prayers and let me return to you soon. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings. So do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my co-workers. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This is a very, very touching letter. I hope you can hear there's several elements in this letter where things could have gone awry easily. This letter is so powerful in demonstrating how the gospel permeated society and cultural norms. The gospel is supposed to permeate our society and change how we do our life. That's one of the main purposes of the gospel. If the gospel doesn't change who you are and what you do, I don't know what gospel you're listening to or what you got hold of. That's not it. And Paul, when he's saying these things, it's interesting. Epaphras now is in prison with him. In Colossae, he had been teaching and he had been reporting back to Paul. But now he's locked up with Paul in prison, Epaphras. So we see him again. He was in our prison letter last time, Colossae, and then here he is again in Philemon. Now he's in prison. But there's several points I want to make. The gospel, by design, changes our perspective so that people are treated with equality, even in a culture where that typically does not happen, nor is it encouraged. Nobody would encourage you to treat your servant or your slave as you would someone who wasn't. And Paul is saying, that's exactly what I expect you to do. That is what I call on you to do, because now he's your brother. And I love that. I love what the gospel does. And when people get hold of the real gospel, it changes. No matter what your culture says, it's supposed to change how you see stuff. And what I have seen often is that I don't know if it's just a watered down gospel or what it is, but I don't see it having the impact in how we do our life like it should. We continue to do our life the way our parents did, or way, you know, Aunt Nell did, or Uncle Mark, or somebody that maybe we were around. Or we just continue to do our life the way we always did. Like, we like our routine. We like what we like. We want to do it the way we want to do it. And anything that interferes with that, we get afraid. That's not the gospel. The gospel is power. The Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God. Wow. The power of God unto salvation. Save you from what? You. We needed to be saved from us, from our choices, from our decisions, from the way we just kept doing life that was so unfruitful, so unholy, so ungodly, so hurtful, so selfishly. I said all that really fast. But I'm telling you the truth. This is what sin does. Sin makes you self-conscious, self-absorbed. Self, 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 self. And the gospel comes, and you're to be crucified. For I'm crucified with Christ. Yet not I, but Christ lives. So that our focus isn't just on us and how we're treated and how they acted toward us and how they're all these other people. It's like, that's not the gospel. That is not the gospel message. That is not good news. That is us recycling trash in our mind. Maybe trash you've had in your mind for a long time, but it is unworthy to now be recycled in our lives. Those are unworthy things. They're not worthy of a child of God. They're not worthy of the price that Jesus paid for us to be free of such things and such thoughts and such attitudes. Unless the gospel changes how we do life, we have not properly understood it. During the Jesus movement back in the 70s, I was thinking about that. Many young people who had been born again were actually turned away from churches at the door because their hair was just too long. Or maybe their clothing wasn't, you know, a coat and tie or whatever. And the church people decided, we don't want all that up in here. Or if you weren't the right color, you could be turned away from a church. You know, in the name of God. This actually happened. This happened here. This kind of stuff has been going on for a long time. And you say, oh, but that was a long time ago. But we have new stuff because we just keep recycling the same attitudes. We just change what it's about. Because until the gospel comes in to clean us out from the inside out, the outside is still going in. There's got to be a force in us that pushes it out so it can't come back in. You understand? The change is something that's so within us that it's literally a force. And when something that's contrary to the gospel tries to come in, it says, no, you're not. Historically, we can even see the same mindset being repeated. It's just different people, different things, but it's the same hateful attitude. It's the same control kind of thing. It's the same kind of hierarchical arrangement of life where these people are here and these people are here. These people are smart, these people are stupid. It's always like that. It's nothing new. It's called sin, by the way. It's called sin. There are women who have been turned away from churches because they showed up and they had some makeup on. And their hair was cut. They go, well, no, sweet. I'm sorry, sister. It's in the place for you. Or if you did go in, somebody before the service was over was going to set you straight on how you dressed and how you're supposed to be. I am so glad that God, in his mercy and grace, kept me away from busybodies when I first came to the church. When I first got saved, because I had just gotten born again. Do you know, does a baby know anything when it's just born again? No. Does a baby even care? No. No, no, no. I just praise God. I was protected. Not everybody has had that shield of protection. I think about sometimes the people that in that time period, you know, in the 70s and just kind of, because there were kids really getting saved. They were actually truly getting saved, born again, filled with the Spirit, and decided they wanted to go to church and learn. But we didn't want them to come learn. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Jesus saying, you're not dressed nice enough to come learn. This is what I have said for so many years. Your culture, we are so influenced by culture. I'm telling you this as a warning. So hear me. When you elevate your culture above the Spirit of God, you are in error and you will hurt people. You will hurt them. You will hurt the ones Jesus came to die for. You will hurt the ones that were hungry. But you couldn't just receive them in love and let the Holy Spirit deal with them. Jesus beckons us all to come, remember? Whosoever. His arms are always wide to receive any sinner who wants his life. In verses 4 through 6, I want you to just look at this, how Paul emphasized the need to put faith into action. He literally said, and I'm praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith. See? And he was reminding Philemon, you are a generous person. He gave him credit for a lot of really good stuff. Do you notice in this? My goodness, Philemon was an incredible man. But there were some issues that Philemon was going to have to overcome to properly receive Paul's request and not think it too far of a stretch for him to do so. In verse 7, Paul reminds Philemon that he has been instrumental in helping many of God's people and that they have been refreshed by his kindness. So it's almost like he's telling Philemon who he is. He said, this is your true character. You're a person of action. You are a generous person. Many people have been refreshed by just your acts of kindness for them. He's reminding him of this. And then in verses 8 and 9, Paul reminds Philemon of their personal relationship. That this is personal. It's a personal request. It's not something that Paul puts out there for everyone, but it was put there to Philemon, and he's appealing to him. And then I love when he shows such tenderness in verse 10, where he refers to Onesimus as his child. So Philemon would have referred to Onesimus as his slave. Paul said, oh no, he's my child. He's my child. It's more of an endearing term. Do you see the difference? And Paul is making a point to point that out. He's just a baby. We're dealing with a little baby brother who just got born again. But he's hungry and he's eager to learn. And I have confidence that you'll do this for me. Because I see him as my child. And it was like he had gotten saved through Paul's ministry, even while Paul is in chains in prison, the Bible says. And so I just want to point that out. And then Paul also reminds us all that all believers are brothers and sisters in Christ. He goes on to talk about this in the passage, and that we no longer relate to them according to their past sins or what status they may represent in terms of society or the worldview. You don't relate to people that way. Do you know a lot of people do? There's a lot of people, you know, if somebody comes in, you know, Jesus talked about this. People come in with fine clothes. You know, and they have money and you find out they're wealthy or they're rich or whatever. And then people kind of put on airs. There's this thing where you want to impress those people. The blood of Jesus is the same. Our value to God is in the blood of Jesus, Period. Period. But it says that we no longer relate to people according to their past sins or anything that society would say. Jesus had a lot to say about this, remember, in the Gospels. You know, someone comes in and you say, oh, here, sit here. And then some poor person comes in, you go, here, sit over here at our feet. And Jesus said, that's a no-no. That's not the behavior. That's not the behavior of people who understand the gospel, who understand the love of God that's been poured out for the sins of the whole world. Look at this. And then Paul tells Philemon that in forgiving Onesimus, it would refresh Paul. He says, I'm an old man. I'm in chains, Philemon, along here with Epaphras, who was also very instrumental in evangelism and referred to in the book of Colossians, like I said earlier. But he's talking to Onesimus. You're going to have to forgive him. Evidently, according to some what is said, either he stole something or he did or took something or maybe stole some money when he was bolting out of there. And Onesimus, you know, so Philemon's got some forgiving to do. So not only as did his slave, whom he purchased, and the law said he had a right to have him, which is a horrible law, but that's the way it was, and it is that way over much of the world today still. The horror continues. But he says, but he's my child, and I want you to forgive him. Can you find it in your heart to forgive what he's done? And then Paul makes it even easier. He said, I'll pay for it. Whatever it was, whatever he did, whatever infraction there was, charge it to my account and I'll make it good. Now, writing this with my own hand, you can count on me to make it good. And I love this too. Listen, I just love the way Paul presents all this. He appeals to the prayers that Philemon has been praying for him to get out of prison. In other words, you're a man of prayer. And I have hope of getting out of bondage, of getting out of prison, that I can come stay with you. And Paul even says, go ahead and get a guest room ready for me. And we'll have a reunion. We'll have a reunion. And he says, I need Onesimus to stay with me. He's really helping me. But if you could find it in your heart to just loan him to me as a brother, out of the goodness of your heart, I'll pay what he owed you. I'll square his account. He says, but I really need him here. And he's just a baby. I think Paul wanted to disciple him further. You know, he knew what he came out of, and just he didn't want to just turn him loose as a baby. You understand what I'm saying? And the early church was so good about discipling people. Paul hovered over people, just kind of like a mama over babies. Like, ooh, they're too little for that. He's just a little one. And he says, and he would be useful to me, and I can disciple him. And so he appeals to him. And all of this looks so workable if Philemon can forgive. And if Philemon can see him as an equal brother in the Lord. It all hinges on that. Because everything Paul said was true. And Paul's doing everything he can to cover for Onesimus' wrongs, whatever they were. He said, I'll take care of it. But I need him here. I'm not ready to send him to you. But if you have to have him, then you need to know you're going to have to receive him as a brother. If he comes back to you, I'm telling you, you're going to have to receive him as a brother, as an equal, not just your slave, but your brother in the Lord. And he puts this equality right out there. See, the gospel does that. That no matter what your culture is saying, the way you treat him has to be the way you would treat a brother in the Lord, and not any different. I just wanted to tell you today that the gospel is here to change our perspectives. And a gospel that doesn't begin to change the way society looks at people and God and even taking care of debt You know, Paul didn't just say, just let it go. He said, no, it's a debt. It's got to be paid to make it right. Because Philemon was wronged. Whatever was taken or stolen, that's what's innuated here. Whatever that was, Paul said, I want to make that right. In other words, so that there's nothing there that would be eaten at Philemon. He's done everything he can to cover that. Are we like that? Are we like that? Will we forgive? Would we be the one to say, I'll take care of it? Are we the person that would just step in and say, but this, she's your sister now. She's your sister now. She's just a baby. Would we be protective of those babies? I think that's important. And I think Paul's making a good point. Because you remember when we talked last time about Colossae, all the false stuff that was going out. Other pagan religions being blended in. All that they were blending all this stuff together. And we actually never got away from it. We have never gotten away from it. The church has never gotten away from the blending of stuff that doesn't belong there. And it's contaminated the true gospel message. But I praise God for Paul. This old man in chains, he's still giving birth to young ones, and he's still hovering, and he's still protecting them. And he's still counting on the people of God to be what we're supposed to be. I believe that's what God is calling on us to be today. That we would be those people. We would be the people that would watch out for those little ones. That they're not trampled underfoot with ideas and obligations that they can't really do anything about. Onesimus evidently still didn't have any money. Come on. He'd been a runaway slave. He'd been hanging out with Paul. He had gotten saved. So everybody was kind of having to take care of him at the time. The early church did this, and before it's all said and done, so will we. We'll have to kind of cover for each other. Watch out for each other. Be protective of each other and for the babies that are going to be born into the kingdom. I love this. The main point that Paul, I believe, is making is he's saying, I'm reminding you of the character that God developed in you. And he said, don't sell yourself short by falling for this stuff of culture. Don't sell yourself short in terms of the power of the gospel for the sake of your culture. Because it hurts people every time we do that. Every single time we do that, it hurts people. Y'all stand up. You know, Jesus gives us a great amount of freedom, even though he's our Lord, even though we've been purchased with a price. He always gives us the freedom to choose. We have all received the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. My question is, does it affect how we do our life? Do people think we're different than the other people they work with? Are we pretty much just blending in? You need to remember, the only thing that the devil has against you is fear. Fear is big, right? There's a lot of things we won't do because we're just scared. I don't know. I'm afraid. That's got to go. That has got to go. You'll never be able to be a bold witness for Jesus if you're always checking, but is it safe? I know Bishop said this one time, you know, she the way only she can. And she said, I had people ask me, well, is it safe? And she went, like, what has that got to do with it? What has it got to do with it? Because what happens is we get into self-preservation. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to God. You can't always make your decisions around, but is it safe? Are they going to like me? I mean, what if they get upset? See, this kind of mindset thing that we have going on. The early church didn't have that. That's how come they did so much evangelism. They didn't worry about it. If it cost their job, it cost their job. whatever it costs, it just costs. It just is. But their attitude was, nothing's as hard as hell. And I say that all the time. Nothing's as hard as hell. But I want to encourage you today with what Paul did with Philemon. He said, you know, your kindness has refreshed a lot of people. And right now I'm standing in line for that same kindness to come forth from you, Philemon. For not just me and my needs, but for my little baby brother here who just got born again. Philemon, could you extend that kindness one more time? Could you do it just once more, Philemon? And my question is, can we do that? Can we do that for other people? Can we do it one more time? He goes, yeah, but I mean, I've been so nice to them. Can you do it one more time? Can you do it one more time? But they're just so hard. Can you do it one more time? In the name of Jesus, can you reach out one more time? You understand? I'm talking about for the sake of the gospel. One more time, one more time. Go at it again. One more time. Refresh somebody with kindness. Amen? Amen? Lord, we thank you today for your kindness. Yours is the ultimate kindness. And you call us to pattern our lives after you. I thank you for this book. It's a precious book of Paul and a personal relationship and how he expressed his need. I thank you so much for all the dynamics of this book and that you decided we needed to read it and you included it. And I praise your name. I thank you, God, for change. Change doesn't come from the outside. It comes from the inside. And that you have called us to be agents of change. Sometimes we are the intersection somebody comes up to. And they're trying to figure out which way to go. And we are the intersection. We're the red light or we're the green light. Or we're the stop sign, or we're the yield sign, but we're the ones that are there. Help us to hear your voice, God, and that we will be a bold witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ, his power. You're the same, God, yesterday, today, and forever. You change not. And I thank you, Jesus, that you're just alive as today as you ever were. When you walked on this planet, you're just as alive. You're just as kind. You're just as gracious. And I give you praise. I give you praise. And I thank you, God, for everything you did. I thank you, God, that you gave an altar call and people responded before the word ever went forth. I thank you, God, you're in this place for your own purpose. And I thank you, God, your purpose is always souls. Help us to remember that our purpose has to be just like yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.